Well, welcome to Advent, everyone. It's often a quick shift when it happens the Sunday right after Thanksgiving and we're still enjoying, maybe it was families or just lots of turkey and food or whatever it is and however we celebrate. But we have this shift to Advent. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to take our slow journey to Christmas. And as we take this journey, I'm going to introduce us and talk about some of the people in the Christmas story. And hopefully their lives can impact our lives. We're going to watch as God breaks into the lives of regular people and changes them. And I hope we will all feel the challenge to open our own lives a bit more to Jesus and let Him break into places that are still locked or closed from Him. This morning we meet a couple, Zechariah and Elizabeth. And their story comes from Luke chapter 1. And I invite you to read along. You can watch the screens, or you can grab your own Bible and read from them. They are the first story in Luke's telling of the Jesus story. These are the first people we meet. And I introduce to you Zechariah and Elizabeth. And I ask, Lord, that you would come and you would let this couple speak to us today. In Jesus' name. Luke begins. In the time of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. And his wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. Let's just pause for a moment. Righteous, blameless. That's how these couple are described. Shouldn't that be the faith goal for all of us? To be righteous and blameless. To be faithful. Zechariah and Elizabeth are models for us as human beings, regular people like you and me, who set their mind, set their heart to follow God as faithfully as they could. Now you need to understand that being spoken of as righteous or blameless does not mean they were perfect. They were just as human as we are. It doesn't mean they were sinless. It just means that they loved God and they sought to obey God at every turn whenever they could. It means that they looked to God in situations of their life, that they practiced their faith with heart, not simply as rules to follow, but because they really did want to love God with whole heart and mind and soul and strength. I love the word that one historian used to describe people who were called righteous and blameless. It was a way of saying they were exemplary in their faith. I like that. They were exemplary in their faith. It takes work to be exemplary. To be exemplary in any area of life takes effort, takes work, takes perseverance, takes energy. And this couple, put their energy into their faith. Too often, we settle for mediocrity. I'm just going to be okay, God. I'm going to be good enough. I'm going to put some effort into it, but, you know, not too much. But this couple was exemplary. How would you describe yourself? Or maybe better, how might others describe you? Would they talk about your faith as being exemplary? Not perfect. Do they see you as someone who's really giving an effort to Jesus? Or just kind of coasting downhill? My hope is that this couple will be a challenge for us to think about ourselves when we go home and look in the mirror later today. Do we see someone who's trying, who's working, or just coasting? Is there a place in your life where God may be asking you to put a little bit more effort? Think about it. We're going to continue through the story, and our next portion is just one sentence. Luke tells us, but they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. I think it's important for us to pause here. Because to be righteous and blameless, to be faithful, to be really trying and putting our heart and soul into the faith, our faith, following Jesus, does not mean everything in life is going to be wonderful. It does not mean that we are going to get to sit and all the good things happen to us. It does not mean that everything works out humanly well for us. This righteous and blameless couple were childless. Now, even in our day, for many couples who are childless, there is a pain when you can't have children. But my understanding of history would be that for Zechariah and Elizabeth, it went far beyond the personal pain of not being able to have children. Because in that religious culture, people assumed that children were a blessing from God, and therefore, since they didn't have children, they were not blessed of God. And some people might have even wondered what they were doing in quiet that would keep God from blessing them with children. So even though God and many people saw them as blameless and righteous, some might have been wondering, what are they doing? And they carried that every day of their lives, and it says they carried it into their old age. Bad things happen to good people. It did back then. It still does today. Hardships come. Folks, they're part of life. I don't understand why bad things happen, but they do. And life situations, life's stations, the physical blessings upon a person are not necessarily an indicator of their faithfulness before God or God's faithfulness in their life. Stuff happens, even to blameless and righteous people. And we need to know that because our world gets goofed up in that. It makes incredible assumptions sometimes when bad things happen. Or sometimes we're lulled into thinking, if I'm righteous and I'm blameless, well then God's got to make my life good. And it simply doesn't work that way. If we're being righteous and blameless so that God blesses us with earthly blessings, that might be an area where God needs to work. Let's continue the story. It says, once, when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and he was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of righteousness, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years." I already mentioned it, but it's important to note it here. Blameless and righteousness does not mean we are always faithful in every moment. Zechariah is in the midst of his crowning moment as a priest. There were 18 or more thousand priests. A priest would be on duty 2 weeks a year. And when priests were on duty, they chose lots to who could go in to the inside of the temple and light the incense. You got to do that maybe one time in your life. It was what the priests, you know, lived for. They could go into that holy place and light the incense, which is a reminder of the prayers of the people going to God. This is probably the afternoon lighting because that's when people would gather at the temple for times of prayer and they would wait for that incense lighting to happen. I mean, this was what every priest longed for. That one moment where they could literally represent the people before God. It is what this blameless and righteous man had dreamt about as he thought about his priestly offering to God. And in the midst of that, an angel shows up. God breaks in a way Zechariah never expected. And he fumbled the ball. In his crowning moment, he
He stuttered. He balked. His humanity showed through, and he didn't rise to the moment of faithfulness. It seems as if he had given up on that prayer. He likely prayed when he was young, and now that childbearing was gone, it seems like the way the text unfolds, he may have given up on that prayer, given up on the fact that he could ever have children. He couldn't hear God's voice in the voice of the angel. He had more doubt than faith in that moment. He's human. Remember, being righteous and blameless doesn't mean being perfect. Amen. And he questions God. How can I be sure of this? And you kind of hear it in that kind of a voice. God, really? Have you looked? I'm old. Elizabeth's old. She's beyond her years. She can't have kids. Really? That's what he says. I want you to know, as we read this story, God does not leave him in that heap of doubt. And even those of us who would say, we're doing pretty well with Jesus, we have those moments when God speaks, maybe not in an angel's voice. I've never seen an angel. I've never had God speak to me that way. But I've felt the nudge and the push of God and kind of said, really? I'll call that person later, and then you forget, and it's days. I've missed those opportunities. I'm a human like Zechariah. We're not always faithful. But God doesn't leave us in that heap. When the call comes and we're not up to that moment, God doesn't say, I'm done. Because the story continues. The angel said to him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. Even for the righteous and the blameless, there are new places God wants to break into our lives. God had something to do in Zechariah's life. There was an area, even in the life of this person who was exemplary, where God needed to press him to new places, where God needed to raise his expectation of what God can and would do, where God needed to bring an episode that would change him and change the world. I believe God wants to break into every one of our lives this Advent. I mean, he wants to do it all the time, but he wants to do it in this Advent. Those of us who feel as if, or others would say about us, that we're exemplary, God wants to break into your life. Those of us who are taking it a little easier, God wants to break into your life. God wants to break into my life and speak to us and challenge us. And draw us deeper to him. I remember the story of a woman named Lois Prater. As a young child, she had always dreamed about helping children, maybe even orphans. And then she met a guy, and they got married, and they lived a good life. I mean, a faithful life. You know, they went to church regularly. They taught in the Sunday school. They did the things that would be exemplary.
And at the death of her husband, this woman is somewhere in her mid to late 70s. God breaks in and he says, Lois, do you remember that dream from when you were a young child? I want you to start an orphanage for kids in the middle of Africa. And the story unfolds. And there's a King's Kids orphanage because she said yes to God. Many of you know a former member here named Shirley Pray. I think most of us would say Shirley was exemplary. Not perfect, but exemplary. And if you needed prayer, you certainly wanted Shirley on the task. She recently published a book. She had said to God, I'll never write a book. But God said to Shirley in her 80s, I have a new place for you to go. I have a new challenge for you to take. I have a new area for you to work on. Write a book. And she did. It was published this year, a book of prayers, which if you know Shirley, prayers and scripture. But she had to struggle with God to take on this new adventure, this new place. I think of Rich Stearns, CEO in corporate America, living the good life. He tells his own story, and maybe with a touch of pride in his story, he talks about how even in his corporate CEO desk, he had his Bible sitting on his desk. And there may just be a touch of, I'm pretty good in that statement. And then God called him to leave corporate America to head an NGO called World Vision. And if you read his story, he didn't exactly say, yeah, God, the first time. No, not me. Sounds a little bit like Zechariah. But God didn't leave him in the, yeah, not me. He kept whispering and calling. And now he heads the largest Christian relief organization in the world. Where does God want to break into your life? Where does God want to do a new thing in you? Are you at least willing to listen for his voice? To watch what door opens, what call comes, what tap on the shoulder happens? Advent is about Jesus breaking into this world. Advent is about God breaking in new ways into our lives. I want to go back to one other part. It's the story of this child who's going to be born. Next one, please. The angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He'll be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, because he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. He will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah, and he will turn hearts of parents to their children, and disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. What God does in our lives, where God is calling you, this next step, this place where God wants to break in, is not merely for you and your growth or me and my growth. It is in God's plan a way of announcing the good news of Jesus. Lois Platter set up an orphanage for children so they could hear the name of Jesus. Shirley Pray wrote a book calling us to pray for our nation. Rich Stearns began to work with World Vision, a Christian relief organization. God always has something bigger in mind. It's never just about us. It's about advancing God's plan. It's about having God's message and His good news reach around the world. We don't know how it will work out. We don't know what part we play, but I guarantee that if there's a new place God wants you to go, it's going to advance His kingdom in some way. That's how God works. Folks, it's Advent. Christmas is coming. Now we can enjoy all of the festivities of Christmas. It is fun. But Christmas is more than the festivities. It's the celebration of Almighty God's great redemptive act. When He sent His Son, Jesus, to break into our world so that we could be reconnected with God through faith in Jesus. And God is still trying to break into our lives. Will you open your life to the Lord this Advent? Will you dare to pray a prayer? Dear God, what would you have for me now? Would you pray that prayer? Would you be willing to learn from Zechariah and Elizabeth and avail yourself to God so that He can do something new in your life and then through you in the world? Let's pray. God, thank You for regular people like Zechariah and Elizabeth. People who love You. People who strove to be exemplary in faith. Thank You, God, for having new adventures for them, even in the latter part of their life. Thank You, God, for the new adventures You have for us in whatever season of life we are in right now. We pray this in the matchless and wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.